Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this last day of January, Thursday the 31st. And today the U.S. Senate could take up its version of the economic stimulus package. Yesterday, the Senate Finance Committee approved a plan that is different than the one that passed in the House of Representatives this week. The Senate version widens the range of Americans eligible for the tax rebate checks. Wealthier Americans would be included. The income cap was raised in the Senate version to $150,000 a year for individuals and $300,000 for couples. The Senate version would provide smaller checks, $500 to $1,000, but it would include seniors living on Social Security and disabled veterans, and the Senate package would also include unemployment benefit extensions. The House version would limit the rebates to people making up to $75,000 a year and couples making up to $150,000. We will talk this hour which version, which economic stimulus version makes the most sense to you and for our economy. Will either of these packages ward off a recession? And how much trouble is our economy in right now as it is? The Federal Reserve Board yesterday cut a key interest rate for the second time in just over a week, cutting the federal funds rate by a half point to 3%. So we will welcome your questions and comments for our guest economist at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Kevin Quinn, Associate Professor of Economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what about this Senate version? Is this a better deal than the House?
Well, it's a better deal if you get a check.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me how the Senate is in a bigger hurry to expand this than even the House was, mm-hmm. which is I think a little bit unusual. Usually it's supposed to be the Senate that has the cooler head on its shoulders and was more or less designed to prevent this sort of thing.
Yeah, what's the thinking of raising the income gap or the income level?
I think it... I'm not a political scientist, yeah. but I can't imagine that this doesn't have something to do with the election that's coming up in a little while. These folks are very good at reading polls, and it seems that all of a sudden we've forgotten completely about Iraq in, you know, the midst of the subprime meltdown and the housing issues and now the R word. And so nobody wants to go to the voters and say they didn't do anything, and the more they do, the better they're going to look.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was expected that the Senate might add things like unemployment benefit extensions for people, but I guess I was surprised to see what they came up with.
Yes. It's difficult to justify the unemployment extensions and as a stimulus package because typically that wouldn't, it takes a long time for money, even in the hands of people, to stimulate the economy. They don't spend it all at once. They kind of run up their credit cards a little bit more again after they pay them off is a typical thing to do. It's not that extending unemployment insurance is a bad idea. It's just to call it a stimulus package is a little questionable.
Yeah. Well, will either of these packages, whichever one might pass or a compromise, getting rebate checks to a bunch of people, will that stave off a recession?
Well, you know, we've done this before, and not that long ago. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of folks in Washington believe that that's indeed the case. But it's only now that a lot of the academic research about what happened to that money 5-6 years ago is starting to come in, and it seems like it did help, but it doesn't help right away. A pretty good study of people's credit card usage suggests that the first thing that people do is pay off some of their credit, mm-hmm. or that's what a lot of people do that. Well, that doesn't directly stimulate the economy very quickly at first. However, as time goes by, people re-spend up to their credit limits to the extent that they had done so before. And if you figure 20% of consumption is done with credit cards, that's a fairly significant amount of money. So I mean, it is true, of course, that people take their money and they'll go out to eat. You know, they'll feel temporarily flush, mm-hmm. sort of like a sailor on leave, and mm-hmm. go ahead and spend that money, but not all of it right away. The fact that they're talking about getting these checks in people's hands and beginning in May, maybe, so we're looking at May, June, July, something along those lines, it could take quite a while for that to stimulate the economy, right around November, perhaps.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's conveniently timed, too.
Yeah, I'm sure they hadn't thought of that.
But what about, and it's the checks might be in the mail by May if an agreement is reached soon. Isn't that a long time to try to ward off a recession? I mean, some are saying we're already in that recession.
Yeah, the GDP, the first estimate of GDP for the fourth quarter came out yesterday, and it showed that there was a small increase, 0.6%. So technically, is that a recession? Hard to say. Mm-hmm. It certainly isn't very good, and number is subject to a variety of revisions as better information comes in later. The typical post-war recession in the U.S. has lasted something like 11 months. And it's likely that, well, you never know, but let's say that this would be a typical one and that it got started sometime in the fourth quarter, say October. Well, that would mean that it's likely that this recession would be over in terms of the way that we understand recessions by, you know, next summer, late summer or something like that. So it may be just about the time the economy is starting to rebound and demand is starting to get strong again that we pile on with these rebate checks. And the Fed may be in the interesting position of having to increase rates because the bigger problem at that time would be fears of inflation rather than fears of unemployment.
Hmm. We're going to check our weather forecast and then talk more about that and about the economy and these troubling times. We are in right now, and whether these tax rebate checks that Congress is debating will help or not. The Senate may take up debate today on its version of an economic stimulus package. It differs from the one passed this week by the House. We wonder if you have questions about either package or whether you think one package is better than the other and or any questions you have about whether it'll help. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Kevin Quinn, Associate Professor of Economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, January the 31st. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, with the presidential primary campaign season in full swing, Ben and his guest will look at the words being spoken by the candidates and compare them to the presidential campaign of 1968. So then and now on the presidential campaign trail. In terms of presidential speeches, coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We are talking with Kevin Quinn, Associate Professor of Economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere, about the economy and about the U.S. Senate today beginning to vote on a rival plan for invigorating the economy. The plan would add billions of dollars to a measure that's already won the blessing of the House of Representatives and the Bush administration. The president had warned that any tampering with the basic measure could delay or derail it. The Senate Finance Committee yesterday passed a version of the economic stimulus plan that would provide $500 to $1,000 rebates for all but the very wealthiest taxpayers. Their version would provide smaller checks but cover more people, including some higher-income people, the elderly, and disabled veterans. It would also extend benefits for people who've lost their jobs. The measure approved yesterday by the Senate Finance Committee would add $32 billion to the $161 billion two-year plan that was approved by the House earlier this week. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions on these competing plans for economic stimulus or any questions you have about the economy. Jane in Madison is with us first. Hi, Jane. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
I just was wondering, no matter which plan they go with, where does the money come from to fund these rebate checks?
That is a great question. Mm-hmm. Somehow that is missing from the debate. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the correct answer is that we increase the deficit. We're going to sell more treasury securities. So the money's going to come from whoever buys those securities. However, that means that those are claims against future U.S. tax revenues, and an increasing percentage of those securities are being purchased by foreigners. In fact, you know, for example, China is buying a lot of them as a way to park all the excess dollars that they have. So sometime along the way, we're either going to generate that from increased GDP, which is going to reduce the demand for spending and increase taxes, or we're going to have to increase taxes and or cut spending.
Yeah. You know, I think it was Mike Huckabee in the Republican candidate debate last night that made some sort of comment that this economic stimulus package benefits China's economy more than it benefits the U.S. economy. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it benefits China's economy more. Mm-hmm. But sure, China is going to have a positive effect. I would perhaps spin that a little bit differently, that China has no particular great interest in watching the U.S. economy tank, which is a good thing, mm-hmm. because, you know, they are an economy to reckon with now. We can't continue on as if we, you know, were the only economy in the world. So as a result of that, it's nice to have an ally in that sense. The thing about the Republicans' rather dour opinion about much of this stimulus package, I think, has a lot to do with what their base looks like. You know, with the cutoff points of 150,000, I think you'll find a lot of people that lean in the Republican direction may have family incomes that are in excess of that, and you know, they don't if they don't benefit, they're not going to be particularly supportive of it.
Yeah. Let's an email from Jim. I believe your guest overestimates the length of time it will take most Americans to spend this rebate. Based on my experience helping families in financial distress, they will spend this money before they receive the check. They will charge purchases knowing that the money is on the way.
Yes, I think that that is the case for some, but a lot of the folks that are in stress have used up all the liquidity they have with their credit cards. They don't have extra money to spend because they've already done it. So in a sense, what they have to do is they have to pay it down before they can go ahead and spend it again.
Mm-hmm. Anita in Fond du Lac, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering how much of the stimulus check will be taxed, as far as will it be taxed when you get it? Then you reclaim it on your tax as income at the end of the year. And then the sales tax that you pay, how much of that money actually goes into the economy, and how much does the government get back?
That's a great question. As from what I understand, and I'm not certain about this, but I don't think that they intend to, you know, take it back once they give it to you. Although that's an intriguing thought, because if what you're trying to do is stimulate the economy now, and once that happens, moderate the economy, I suppose that would make a little bit of sense. I doubt that that would be very politically possible, but I'm not sure about what the deal is there. As far as the sales tax is concerned, most sales taxes go to local and state economies. So to the extent that your state is taking that money and doing something with it, that also could help, you know, stimulate the economy there too.
Yeah. Professor Quinn, the tax rebate checks, do they make a lot of sense economically? They certainly make sense politically, as you made a point of, but do they make good economic sense?
Well, I think it would be tough to argue that they do not stimulate the economy. Mm-hmm. And if your biggest issue, if the thing you're most concerned about is an economy, you know, spiraling down the drain, you might want to put all your other concerns on hold and go ahead and do this. It's not, you know, an entirely meritless idea. It's just to offer it as a panacea is, I think, the problem. It does stimulate the economy, no doubt about it. If we look at what happened in 2002, it did. But at what cost?
Yeah. Let's go to Sammy in Appleton. Hi, Sammy.
Hello. I wanted to give a comment about
which package I think is better.
All right, Sammy, just curious, you mind telling us about how old you are? You sound kind of young.
I'm turning 12 in May.
I don't think Sammy's going to get a rebate check, but your parents probably are. But what do you think, Sammy?
Well, I think the Senate version gives it to high-income families, but the House version doesn't give it to, like, veterans and the elderly,
mm-hmm.
and those people not making too much money.
So you think maybe a compromise between the two? Well, there we go. We got a pretty smart public radio listener there, Professor Quinn.
That's great. That's great. I hope to see you at St. Norbert before too long, sitting in one of my classes.
So what he's saying is that don't give it to wealthier Americans, but yes, give it to the elderly and the disabled veterans.
I think that's the question that's going to hammer out. In the case, it's difficult to make the argument that we should be handing this out to people that are making $200,000 a year and ignore some of the other folks. On the other side of the argument is that, if people haven't paid taxes, how can we legitimately give them a rebate? Which I think is a bit of a specious argument, because if the point is trying to stimulate the economy, whether or not it's giving you your own money back, or giving people who are more likely to spend it, the idea is to stimulate the economy, not be necessarily quote unquote fair in that sense.
Sammy, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. Linda in Monroe. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Jory. Good morning, Professor Quinn. I think neither the Senate or the House are right. I think our federal government is making the problem worse in regard to the subprime mortgage mess. Now, I understand that the FBI is investigating over a dozen cases of fraud. Now, I think all Fed Chairman Bernanke is doing by lowering the interest rates is bailing out the banks and the mortgage lenders at the expense of anyone having a CD in the bank. And a good example of that was a couple on TV that had bought a $180,000 house, and their interest rate on their mortgage went up from 9% to 14%. Now, I feel the only solution is what Senators Clinton and Obama want to do, which is tax the hedge fund dealers who created the problem and put on some federal regulations, which our paid corporate lobbyists are fighting hammer, tooth, and nail to stop.
We only have a minute before the newscast. We can continue after the news. You want to start with... Can you address the taxing the hedge fund dealers? Linda always brings that up.
Yes. If you're looking for money someplace and you're mad at them, that's a good place to go. I'm a little nervous about messing around too much with taxes in securities markets. I'd rather collect it some other place than there.
Yeah.
The power to tax is the power to destroy.
Yeah. Is the Fed lowering these interest rates, is that just making the problem worse, helping out the banks and not the people?
Well, ultimately, if banks want to lend more money, that can help people. Right now, we're in a situation where people who have pretty good credit don't have access to credit, so because of the tightness in those markets. So whether or not it helps the banks, I think, is much less of a concern to the Fed than whether or not it keeps the credit system afloat. Yeah.
Kevin Quinn, our guest, Associate Professor of Economics at St. Norbert College, talking with us about the economy and economic stimulus packages. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now 7:36 on this Thursday, January the 31st. The Senate Finance Committee approved an economic stimulus plan yesterday that would widen the range of high-income Americans eligible for tax rebate checks. The package would provide rebates for individuals making up to $150,000 a year and to couples making up to $300,000 a year. The bill also provides money for senior citizens living on Social Security and the unemployed. Aides in the Senate say the bill could go to the floor for a vote as early as today. Lawmakers hope to have it completed by the end of the week and enacted by February 15th. The House and the White House urged the Senate to simply pass a package that's already been approved by the House, and it limits the rebates to people making up to $75,000 a year and couples making up to $150,000 a year. Some Republicans call the Senate bill short-sighted and ineffective, and say the only thing that will stimulate the economy is a permanent reduction in taxes. We're talking about what Congress is trying to do to ward off a recession, whether you like this Senate version of this economic stimulus package or the House version, or taking any of your questions about recent economic news and the state of our economy. The Federal Reserve yesterday reduced a key interest rate again for the second time in just over a week, cutting its federal funds rate by a half point to 3%. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Kevin Quinn, Associate Professor of Economics at St. Norbert College in DePere, and our next caller is Laura in Madison. Hi, Laura.
Good morning. I'm one of those people who don't have health insurance, and I know exactly what I would do with the money, and that's to pay off old health bills that I have. I'm just wondering, how much of a stimulus is it if everybody uses it just to pay off bills? I mean, of, you know, credit bills.
Yeah. Paying off debts like that.
Well, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. It depends on the nature of the bills that you're paying off. If you are paying off bills, let's say the bills exist in your doctor's office or something like that, well, you know, the money that you spend there is going to go to their office and they're going to spend it on whatever they're going to spend it on. On the other hand, if you put the money into the financial system, it can perhaps buoy the spirits of the people that are in the business of making loans and perhaps make those loans a little bit easier to get, those credit card payments a little bit easier to get. The other thing is that people who are stressed out financially are less likely to spend money in other ways. So my guess is if you have the unfortunate situation where you had a credit or had medical problems when you had no health insurance, that you're probably pretty stressed out in other ways. If you were to get out from under a little bit, chances are pretty good that you would spend some more money someplace else. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear about your situation.
Yeah, sorry, Laura. Speaking of buoying spirits, isn't that a part of this to make us feel a little bit better about the economy?
Yes. You know, in many ways, the modern economy is built on the idea of confidence. Our monetary system is based on confidence. Our credit system is based on confidence. Actually, right down to the way our governmental system is, it's based on the idea that we believe that the three branches of government are going to try to do what they ought to be doing. So it's important for, you know, psychology plays a very, very critical role in keeping the wheels greased. That said, I would like to make another point. It's pretty clear to me that what's happened in the last 15 to 20 years is a number of significant innovations in the financial industry, that they've gotten more clever about moving money around, and there's been a lot of good things that have come from that. People have been able to access credit in a way that they haven't before, and so people who were not before able to buy houses, for example, or buy cars because they had to save up money to do it, now don't have to do that. Now, there's a tremendous downside to that. One is that people got, the most important, I think, is people got over-optimistic about their future. Americans have committed way too much of their future earnings or their expected future earnings to paying off consumption that they have right now. I think we've looked at the top 5%, top 20% of income earners, and we're trying to model their behavior. Well, we haven't seen that kind of income growth for the median. It's grown, but it's not grown as much as there. And the same thing with all the quintiles have grown in the last 30, 40 years, but not as much as the top. We're trying to model their consumption behavior, and I don't think there's enough to back it up. And I think we're going to have a little private talk with ourselves about what that means for our future.
Here's an interesting email from Kevin and Vesper. Two different questions here, really, I think, though. What would happen if the federal government did nothing? The impending recession seems to be tied to the subprime mortgage problem. Let those who bought more house than they could afford suffer the consequences of a bad financial decision. The same applies to the lenders responsible for those loans.
There's some wisdom there. One of the concerns that a number of academics have brought up and others is that, well, if we bail out businesses and consumers that have made poor decisions and we do that enough times, we develop an expectation that that will happen in the future, and so any personal stake in taking responsibility has gone away. And I think that there's some truth to that. The question is, you know, to what degree are you willing to make folks suffer for that? Because if the banking industry melts down, if the credit card industry melts down, the housing industry, and if all the folks who made poor decisions about mortgages and credit are allowed to go bust, that will have significant ripple effects throughout the economy. So even those who were smart about squirreling away their money, that saved rather than borrowed, that you know, bought houses in neighborhoods that they could afford, are going to be affected negatively by that. You know, you know, one way to get rid of a fire hazard is when it starts on fire, is to let it burn down. To what degree do we want to allow that to occur?
What would happen if there were no economic stimulus package, though, no rebate checks and whatever business incentives? That's the government doesn't do anything there. What happens?
Well, I think what you see there is probably a sharper downturn than whatever is going to happen. I mean, I think this will do something. But on the other hand, it may set the stage for a little bit less trouble in the future. $146 billion is a big chunk of change. That's 1% of U.S. GDP. And if we borrow from, you know, it's like a payday loan in a sense, right? If we borrow from, you know, the next few years to kind of pump things up between now and the end of the year, I mean, sure, it'll pump things up, and there'll be some positive things that come from that, but there's a piper to pay.
Mm-hmm. Mike in Racine is with us now. Good morning.
Hi. I got a general comment and then a specific suggestion. My general comment is I'm against doing this at all, especially as a cash rebate. Basically, you know, the free market environment, you know, if we're going to believe in Adam Smith's invisible hand, we have to believe in his invisible hand just as much when it's handing out cash as we do when it's smacking us around a little bit. We got to have it both ways. But the suggestion I have is that if we do have to do an economic stimulus package, let's do it the old-fashioned way where we build something that actually is going to be useful to us down the road. Let's take this and divide it into sectors of the economy, and such as road building, construction, and so forth, so that when we put this money out, instead of just handing out cash checks, let's give it to the states or some other mechanism to actually do long-term stimulus where we put people to work, building infrastructure that it, when we're paying off the debt for this bailout, that we actually have something to show for it 30 years from now. Let's do some energy conservation things to make homes more energy efficient. Let's build some bridges for our failing bridge infrastructure.
Yeah, we get it, Mike, and we have a weather break coming up, so let me get Professor Quinn to address infrastructure, not tax rebate checks, Kevin Quinn.
I think there's a lot to what the caller says about that, you know, if we sort of blow it on going out to eat, it's not the same thing as if we build roads. The problem is, spending the money over a 4-5 year period does not stimulate the economy before November.
Right, we're looking. The officials are looking for quick stimulus.
Right.
Mike Huckabee had another good one in the debate last night. Something about we need to build the highways, and he said in the Florida primary time a highway around Florida, and then last night in California, he said, "Of course, I would pick a California highway." Now that I'm talking to Californians.
Yes, that was entertaining. I think he's having a lot of fun.
Yeah, even though he's not winning.
Right.
Kevin Quinn, our guest, Associate Professor of Economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere, talking with us about the economy and the economic stimulus program or plan that the Senate plans to vote on today. It differs from the House version. Different sized checks coming to us from the different houses. We're talking about which plan you want or what questions you have. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 o'clock, I'll be welcoming in the author of Saviors or Sellouts, The Promise and Peril of Black Conservatism, from Booker T. Washington to Condoleezza Rice. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the economy, and Bob in Westfield is our next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
One of the issues with our economy, I think, that's affecting it the most is the high cost of energy. And, you know, when you're paying $3.50 for gas, a $600 handout just ain't going to go real far. And the high cost of fuel and everything else has caused huge spikes in consumer goods and utilities. And I think they'd be much better off spending time figuring out how to cut the cost of energy instead of trying to put this goofy package together that ain't going to really do much to the economy.
Professor Quinn?
Yes, one of the concerns I think that that I have and that the Fed obviously has is that inflation since about 2000, 2001 has looked like a different animal than it did before. You know, we got very used to relatively low and not very volatile inflation. And what we've seen recently, led probably by energy and food prices, has made the month-to-month numbers look much bumpier than they were before, and the mean of those numbers higher. And that's also been reflected in a variety of other types of commodities. So there is a concern about inflation. And, you know, for those of us that were born, before 1965, we remember how nasty that was. The energy issue is not going away. There might be some moderation in that in the next little while as the U.S. slows down and the rest of the world economy slows down. But as soon as it comes back, you know, there's a lot of demand for oil, and there's only so much of it being pumped, and it's controlled in a particular way. So you're likely to see those high prices remain.
Yeah. I'm just on the wire this morning, just this headline. Experts say gas pump prices may surge to a record average of $3.50 a gallon or more by June. That's a 17% increase than today's average price of just under $3.
You know, I saw a calculation recently, and I didn't do this myself, so I can't verify it, but I think it makes sense, that if you look at the cost per mile driven in terms of gasoline costs between now and 1960, it's not terribly different. Sure, a lot of us have SUVs and that sort of thing that get horrible gas mileage, but they get a lot better than the old 57 Chevy. And when you adjust for inflation, the gasoline cost per mile driven is about the same.
Yeah. Now, let me get this straight. Cutting the interest rates like we're seeing right now, that leads to higher inflation?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of different ways in which that happens. One of the ways is that, you know, sort of embedded in the whole idea of cutting interest rate is to stimulate demand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is demand is not stimulated evenly across the economy. It tends to be lumpy. Not only that, but the ability to supply that demand also tends to be lumpy. So you wind up with little bottlenecks in the economy. And they can be things like transportation or, you know, specific commodities that are needed, you know, for, technology products and that sort of thing. And so those prices start to go up. You start to see more demand for energy when the economy goes up because everything uses energy. And so as a result of stimulating the demand, you can actually see more price pressures beginning to occur.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, when the interest rate goes down, so does the value of the dollar. And that means that when we buy things from abroad, it takes more dollars to buy the same amount of things denominated in yen or euros or whatever, and that also creates more inflation.
Email from Paul in Monona. Businesses aren't getting a rebate check. What are they getting? Who's getting it? We need specifics. Thanks.
Yes, there is some discussion about that, about, you know, to what degree investment should be in there. And I didn't read the details of the Senate plan, but I think there's something more in there. I think one of the criticisms of the House plan was that wasn't there, in particular for small businesses, because it is likely that if you give investment tax credits, that if you, basically pay for part of businesses' investment, they're more likely to do it. And that may have not as visible an effect on the economy, but it may be a more durable effect on the economy.
Mm-hmm.
That said, the GDP results for durable goods and for some types of investment last quarter was not as bad as it might have looked.
Next we go to Carrie in Chippewa Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Mm-hmm. My comment is that regardless of which economic money thing they give back, I don't know if they're planning on deciding that by the end of this week. A lot of the lower income people that I know are actually planning on using that money to pay down credit cards or other debt from Christmas and such, so they can afford to do things like buy groceries and gas with the grocery and gas prices going up so high. It's I think they're less likely to default on their credit cards with that money, which I think will also help our economy.
Yeah. Seems to me there was a debate at first that lower income people who didn't pay in income taxes should not get a tax rebate check. But the House version did say, I think, about $300 if for lower income people. And I don't have the exact specifics, but I think the Senate is helping out the lower income people too with these checks.
Yes, that's my understanding too. And the argument against it is, as you said, if you don't pay taxes, why should you get a rebate on the taxes you don't pay? But we already do that with the Earned Income Tax Credit, which is a form of transfer payments to the working poor. And to the extent that we want to support the working poor and we want to help them out, because always, they're the ones that feel ups and downs in the economy most acutely. You know, last in, first out, kind of a thing. As far as the what to do with the checks, it's more likely that people who are on the bottom end are going to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
They pay off their credit cards, but as soon as their credit gets back in shape, they go and spend it.
Yeah, and the House package did not give senior citizens on Social Security a rebate, but the Senate version does. Got an email from Linda in Bayfield, who I think supports the Senate version, saying that the president has threatened to veto the stimulus package if it is tampered with. Would he dare veto the change that helps the poorest of the senior citizens? We have a lot of voting clout.
I think that since the president is not up for re-election, I think he is, he's not constrained in that sense. I mean, he might hear a lot of senators and congressmen in his ear telling him what to do, but he has proven himself, I think, to be immune to such pressures. You know, the S-CHIP thing, for example, I think has been quite popular, but he has vetoed that on principle as well. So it wouldn't surprise me if he did.
Yeah, not because senior citizens are getting the rebate, though, but maybe because of all of the stuff added?
Yeah, President Bush has become much more fiscally aware since the 2006 congressional elections. He's much more concerned about earmarks and pork, much more likely to veto that than he was when the Republicans had the Congress. And so it wouldn't surprise me if he wanted to draw the line here and say, this is it, Don't load this up with more pork than a Johnsonville hot dog.
Mm. Bob and Merrill is with us now. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. I've got 3 points. The first thing is this 500 or whatever it's going to be thing, the only way it can do any good at all is if people would use it to buy only American-made goods, which was a challenge in itself. And the second thing is, I think most of people's otherwise spendable money is going to the outrageously high credit card rates. I think they should be capped. And if that can't be done, I think at least the interest on credit cards should be reinstated as a tax deduction.
All right.
So I'll listen to your comments.
All right. We can only do good if we buy American-made goods?
Well, the percentage of consumer spending that's spent on exports is it's not 100%. So it's not like every penny that's purchased is going overseas. Perhaps a larger portion of consumer spending is spent on that than used to be. There's still plenty of stuff that people buy in America. I mean, when you go to Starbucks, most of that value stays here, for example. As far as reinstituting the credit card interest deduction, I think that puts the incentive in the wrong direction. And the reason why is, I think if we're going to think about public policy, we don't want to encourage people to run up more credit card debt and pay higher interest rates than they already do. And I think it's probably a good idea to have a little cold water on that sort of thing. Ironically, capping credit card interest payments, which would be very popular, would also probably reduce the incentive for those companies to market to those that don't have credit. So the question is, if somebody is a member of the working poor, do we want to be paternalistic and essentially remove their opportunity for credit because we don't think that they can handle it, or do we want to allow a lot of them to get into trouble? That's the issue.
Boy, let me try one more quickly. Pat and Nina. Hi, Pat.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks a lot. To go right along with your previous caller's comments about
about American-made goods. I guess tongue-in-cheek here, if we're worried about people saving the money or paying down debt, perhaps we should, the government should just issue a gift card.
Gift cards, Professor Quinn.
You know, that's an interesting idea, although I'm guessing that if people really wanted to use it to pay down debt, they would use the gift card to, you know, buy things that they might otherwise put on their credit cards, and they'll pay off the debt that way. But it is an interesting notion.
I almost out of time. Am I going to do the U.S. economy any good if I spend my rebate check, if I get a rebate check on a trip to Costa Rica?
Well, you'll do the Costa Rican economy some good.
<See that>.
I think that the U.S. government would rather that you went to Miami.
All right. I'll think about it. All right. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate the
Kevin
time.
Kevin Quinn, Associate Professor of Economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere, talking with us today about the economic stimulus plan that goes before the Senate today. It passed a version in committee yesterday that differs from the House, and we're wondering which plan it will be, if either one of them. Thanks to Leo Duran and to Christina Taylor for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.